Hello, hello, hello. This is Tamika Peters, President and CEO of Grow Your Nonprofit, where we help startups, small and stagnant nonprofits grow through fundraising strategy, strategic planning, and so much more. Guys, today you're in for a special treat. I have my special guest here, Dale. He is with Warrior Homes of Collier. He'll share with you why he founded his nonprofit and how he is growing it. But before we get started, I'd like to thank the sponsors of my podcast. Trinity Life Foundation Naples, helping at-risk youth through their enrichment programs. AVID, that stands for the Associations of Haitians Living Abroad. They just opened an amazing support center in Fort Myers where they will help you with immigration support, utility billing, and English as a second language. Vaxtruce, they received a grant from the CDC to raise awareness of COVID-19 and vaccine resources in the Black and Brown communities. Best Insurance USA, a Florida Blue provider. They would help you with health insurance, life insurance, and so much more. Last but not least, Premier Mobile Health Services, your route to better health. So, guys, like I said, my special guest here, Dale. How are you doing, Dale?
I'm fine, Tamika. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So, thank you for trekking all the way from the beautiful Collier County to come on the Grow Your Nonprofit podcast.
Well, thank you for having me up here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So I recently reached out to you on LinkedIn because you received a really nice donation from a new company in town. And I congratulated you. And I said, you know what? Dale would be a really great person to come on the podcast because I researched your nonprofit that you founded over 10 years ago and saw the growth and the recent growth with your addition of the Delta Home, a 10-unit apartment building that houses 20 people, 20 veterans, I must say.
Yes.
And how you were able to raise 30% down. And I mean, it's just a really amazing work that you're doing. But before we get into all of that, please share with our audience a little bit about yourself and why you founded this nonprofit.
Well, first of all, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and back about 14 years ago, I was seeing what was happening with veterans returning home from today's wars, and was really troubled by the fact that they were experiencing a lot of mental health and physical damage, and it started reminding me of my days when I came back from Vietnam a number of years ago. I'm not going to get into how many years ago that was, but
just
a number
10
of
years ago.
Ten years ago. And I came back from Vietnam, and it was, I was very troubled by it, and I did not think that at that time that America really understood the needs of these veterans today, what they were experiencing, what they had experienced. And I thought I knew, but I really didn't until I really got into it, because I was thinking in terms of what it was like during my lifetime and when I came back and the issues that we were faced with. But it was nothing like this generation. And every generation is different, and I think that's the main thing. But when I saw what was happening, I felt like there was a need to get on board and do something. And I thought that I would, the way I was going to deal with this was to do a fundraiser, a one-and-done fundraiser with a golf event. And I contacted a national organization, which was the Wounded Warrior Project, researched that organization. They were at that time doing a lot of advertising on TV, the work that they were doing on the PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And I thought I would just see, check them out and maybe do a fundraiser, bundle the money up and send it back to the Wounded Warrior Project. And that's what we did. That first year, we had a golf event, and we raised $37,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
At that event, which we thought was quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah.
And the outpouring of that event and the return that we got in terms of the community saying, are we going to do it again? Or are we going to do it again? Really made me stop and think, well, should I do this again?
Yeah.
And so the owner of the golf course, golf club that I belong to, asked me, hey, if you want to do it again, I'm willing to donate the golf course.
Wow.
And so being someone who likes to give back, I thought, well, why not? If he's willing to give the golf course to us for the day, I should be willing to raise the money. And we did that for a number of years, and we were what you call a pass-through organization.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, checks are made out to the Wounded Warrior Project. We'd bundle them up, and we would send the money to the Wounded Warrior Project. And we were raising about between $175,000 to $200,000
wow.
a year.
Wow.
Raising money for
I know they love that. That's every nonprofit's dream.
Oh, yeah.
For another organization to raise the money and just send it.
Exactly. Dream come true, right?
Yes, yes.
What started happening was as we tried to grow it more and more, we found out that we need to have a bank account because we had to be able to invest yes. in the charity to be able to grow the charity.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to do that was to become a 501c3.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we had to go to an attorney, pro bono, who mm-hmm. offered the time and services, and we started our own 501c3. And when we started with our own 501c3, it's like starting the business, right?
Right. That's right. We had that discussion. Yeah. It's like yeah. starting the business.
You got to have covenants, and you got to have rules and regulations, and board members, and a variety of other things. That I was surprised because I had come from the private sector, for-profit business, and was never involved, helping to run or on a board with a nonprofit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this was all learning for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I did learn that we spoke about earlier is that it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to this nonprofit as a businessman that had a lot of business experience mm-hmm. and understanding P&L's, profit, marketing, sales, and all that kind of stuff. And because of all of that,
mm-hmm.
It all played into launching this charity, mm-hmm. And at that time we called ourselves Wounded Warriors of Collier County,
mm-hmm.
and for a while we really had no branding.
Mm-hmm.
The branding we had was the Wounded Warrior Project brand,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and while we continued to raise money for them,
mm-hmm.
it became over time less and less for them,
yeah.
and more for what we could do for veterans in our community.
Right. That's very important.
Okay? And that's basically how we got started. There wasn't a business plan to start with. There wasn't investors to start with.
Mm-hmm.
It was just somebody with a passion to
yeah.
do something. And I don't know how many nonprofits start that way. Do you?
Well, they all start that way, but your nonprofit is unique because, number one, you bring the business acumen. So before we dive into a little deeper in that, what was your business that you were in?
I was worked for a Fortune 500 company. I was in international transportation and logistics.
Okay.
And so I had set up a lot of small business operations around the world.
Okay.
Basically from nothing and getting distribution channels set up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was aware of operations,
mm-hmm.
Financials, marketing, return on investment. So I had that and that helped.
Yeah, that's very important. So getting your start, how did you find your board members in order to help you give and leverage your nonprofit?
Well, before we became a nonprofit, for 4 years, we were just raising money
mm-hmm.
As a fundraiser. And I had people reach out, business people reach out, and people that were interested, veterans, say, hey, I'd like to help. And so from that early on fundraising that we started before becoming a nonprofit, mm-hmm. That's where our board members came from,
uh-huh.
basically from there. I really didn't recruit anybody,
uh-huh.
just people wanting to volunteer. Some of them were friends, some of them just called me on the phone.
Wow.
And said, I'd like to participate, or came to one of our golf events or dinner events, which we started later. We added that and just wanted to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a recruiting or finding people that had a lot of money,
yeah.
a lot of experience with nonprofits. It was just real, talk about organic.
Yeah.
It just was an organic charity that started from nothing.
You know, that's really very interesting, because I always see on LinkedIn, I always see these fairs where people are begging, looking for volunteers and board members. So you had friends and you had people who reach out to you. However, you had to have a system in place to engage them. because you're the leader. So in order to be a leader, people have to want to follow you. So what was your strategy to, once you got them involved, how did you get them engaged and be able to retain them and help you fulfill your mission? Because your organization is very successful today, which a lot of nonprofits today are still struggling because A, they haven't figured out that you have a business and you need to run it like a business.
Well, you had to start you'd had just to have a business strategy.
Okay.
And with that strategy, we developed a 3-year business strategy.
Okay.
And had a mission statement. And so that really drives mm-hmm. the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to get board members, some of the early on board members we had to replace mm-hmm. because the needs were different. As the charity grows,
the needs are different. I like that. Charity grows. I like that.
And you go from just fundraising mm-hmm. to a variety of other sources of funding.
Mm-hmm.
I learned early on that just having fundraisers are not enough.
No, it's not.
To generate revenue no. and to drive your agenda. So you start having to find other sources of income.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay, let's talk about the sources of income, because a lot of people think, okay, I have a nonprofit. Let's have events. As we know, events are the most expensive way to raise money, and they are very time consuming. So how did you transition from, because I know you still have about 3 signature events. So how did you, when you had that mindset shift and it was like, in order to be sustainable, we have to have more than fundraising events, because I know you just added to your nonprofit, the Delta House, but you also have other single family homes, about 3.
Yes, we do.
About 3 single family homes. So that you have to have more than events to make that happen. So let's touch on those other multiple streams of income, if you will, to become a sustainable nonprofit.
Well, first of all, you've got to have a strong balance sheet.
Okay.
And you've mm-hmm. got to be able to show that companies, philanthropic organizations like the Community Foundation, mm-hmm. Collier, Schultz Foundation, these larger foundations, mm-hmm. you have to be able to show them an income stream.
Right.
And you also have to be able to show them that where the money's going.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know where's the money going, who's getting paid and who's mm-hmm. not getting paid, mm-hmm. and how you are managing your income. And that's a good question, because nobody wants to invest in something that that is not for real.
Right.
And it's just, you know what I'm saying, and I don't want to, but that the money is really going for the cause.
Right.
And the relationships start becoming really important in terms of your overhead and admin.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like to see a lot of admin expenses. They want to see more of their dollar going to programs and services to provide the person that they're donating the money for. So our target was to keep it at least 90% of our and have about 10% overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to then start working with your accountants and your financial people then to start making sure that you have the right tax documents in place, mm-hmm. because any of these organizations that are going to fund you want to see your 990,
right,
your income tax. And so you got to have that clean, and then to be able to produce to them, because
mm-hmm.
that's where people with sizable donations.
Right.
I want to make sure there's some accountability.
Right.
And so with that, you target companies or organizations or philanthropic organizations or foundations or grants that you can start filing with, but you need tax information
mm-hmm.
to support those filings
mm-hmm.
for income,
mm-hmm.
for grants.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we started doing.
Right, right.
And then working on some personal relationships in that sort of thing to fundraise. So it becomes a multifaceted prong approach.
Yes.
Once you start growing your charity to a level that will fund your strategies.
Right, exactly. And I like that you keep mentioning the word investors. That's something you hear in the business world, and you don't hear that in the nonprofit world. So I love that you're putting that word out. That's right, guys, investors. Your donors are investing in your organization. The Community Foundation, they are all investors. Like Dale said, looking at your profit and loss statement, looking at your 990, which is your tax returns for your nonprofit, that all has to makes sense. It all has to show that you know what you're doing. You're running your nonprofit like a business, and that when they're giving you this grant or this funding, this is not to start up something that's not sustainable, that you can't continue on. So when they look at your grant application and it's not funded, sometimes they don't always tell you, but they're looking to see, okay, what percentage of this program are we funding? Because it shouldn't be 100%. It should be something that you can carry on because we made this investment, but you should be able to continue being self-sustainable.
Yeah. And they want to, and the bigger investors or companies that these foundations want to get to also know more about your charity, want to know who's mm-hmm. behind your charity, who your donors are, who your investors are, as I said, mm-hmm. as well as mm-hmm. your board members. Because if they're starting to make some sizable investments,
right.
They want to know what your organization is all about. Mm-hmm. And that becomes, and the word I want to use is transparency.
Right.
You got to be transparent.
You have to be transparent. I've come across a lot of founders and people who run nonprofits. They say, well, why do they need this? Well, because you're a public charity. That's why you have your nonprofit status. Is you don't own it. It's a nonprofit, and if really anyone wants to see your 990, they can go and get that on the IRS's website and other sites because it's a nonprofit. So with that said,
and it should be current.
It should be current
because some aren't.
No,
and I found where some I've actually wanted to check out some people who are interested in our charity, and you go check them out, and they may not have filed a 990 for 2 or 3 years. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Well, if they haven't filed in 3 years, they get automatically revoked. But COVID did put the IRS back. So some you'll see up to 20, maybe 2021. They're just starting to catch up. That's why it's not current on the IRS's website. But if you reach out to the nonprofit, by law, they're supposed to provide it to you.
Yes, exactly. You're 100% correct. So that's why you got to be transparent. You got to be
current. Just put it on your website.
Well, you got to be current.
Right.
And you need to make sure your financials are current.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So before we wrap up, I told you the time goes by so fast. What advice can you give a nonprofit that's just started up and one that's still small and they're struggling? They just can't seem to get their footing with running their nonprofit, raising money, finding the right board members.
Well, I think there really has to be a real demand out there for whatever you're trying to promote or whatever you have an advocacy for.
Demand.
There really has to be a demand for it.
Huh.
And not because it's something you want, but is
right.
there a need out
right.
there,
right.
a true need
right.
that in the community that you're trying to serve?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, I think some folks that start up these nonprofits, it's about what they want,
right.
what they think the community wants, and they really don't find out what the need is.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things because of my business experience that I did. I ran some focus groups.
Ooh.
Okay, my own focus groups. So we were helping veterans. So I set up focus groups with veterans and their family members independently. Had roundtable discussions with people in the community that I thought that we needed to be interacting with,
mm-hmm.
as collaborating within the community, because there isn't one nonprofit that can operate by independently.
Right.
You need
right.
the help of the community,
mm-hmm.
not only investors, but also other community partners.
Partners, that's right,
community.
Yeah.
And so you really need to understand that and get away from thinking, well, I am...
It's just about me.
It's all about me, it's only about my charity.
Yeah.
You got to work within the community. And find areas that, and you can find them, that are like-minded
right.
and have the same
right.
kind of similar mission. Just take the word hunger for hunger.
Yeah.
There are people, even what we do, helping veterans, we help feed veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of
yeah.
organizations
yeah.
around town that feed people,
mm-hmm.
whether they're veterans or non-veterans.
Yeah.
Same thing with housing. You know, you can go on and on and on. Clothing.
Yeah.
Mental health. It goes on and on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so
how does one get out of their own way? Because I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy. How do we get out of our own way?
Well, don't make it about you.
Don't make it about you. Be selfless. Yeah. Be service
selfless.
Above self.
Yes. Yes. And you got to have, in the passion is so important that you have to be passionate, truly passionate mm-hmm. about what you're doing and being able to sell the mission, sell what the need is, and also be able to show folks that you are making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to publish information, yeah. publish reports, or get some of the folks that you're helping in front of donors.
Yeah, yeah, that's so very important.
So people know, people can see
yeah.
and want to feel, touch, and talk to people that you are helping or see the results of
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide them.
No, you can't hide them. Dale, you'll have to come back. You're a wealth of knowledge. That's why I love talking to people, interviewing people, because I learn so much. I like your approach with the focus groups and the roundtables. That took me back to my government days.
Yeah.
Whenever we were building a roadway expansion of 75, a sidewalk, that's what we did. It was called our public information meeting, or I forget what we called it. But that is... I love your mindset. I love your way of thinking like a business and getting people together, getting out of your way and know why. Because a lot of nonprofits, they want to do it their way, like you said. And it's really a duplication of services. So, which the funders don't like, especially the community foundations. They don't like that.
Exactly. They don't want to fund people doing the same thing. You need to find your niche.
Right.
You need to find out what's needed and what's not being served.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can, then they'll pull you.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to push it. It will pull you.
It will. So Dale, if somebody wanted to donate $1 million to the Warrior Homes of Collier, how would they reach you? Your number, your website, it'll appear on the screen.
Now you can go to www.collier.org. And that's www, not www.
You know, www. I wanted to ask Collier. You that.
.org.
When I saw that, how did you get a www? How did you get a worldwide? You didn't get a World Wide Web. You got a worldwide.
Just www.collier.org.
How did you do that?
I don't know. Talk to the folks that I, you know, the marketing people that I work with.
You see,
but
see, Dale has a lot of skill, because that's the first time I've ever seen that in my entire life. A www. That's so cool. So, and you gave them your information. I don't remember. Did you give them your telephone number? I know
no.
You gave them your website.
No, give our website, and,
okay,
and they
telephone.
Can also contact us at info@www.collier.org. Those are the best two ways
yeah.
to contact
okay.
us.
Okay.
And someone will respond immediately. And we're here in Collier, and we also are involved in Lee County as well.
Okay, that's good to know.
To some extent.
That's good to
yes.
know. Well, thank you so much, Dale, for your time. I hope our audience learned from you, because I surely did, and that it could help make our nonprofit world a better place.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you, guys. You heard it here. Another nonprofit in the community, just 10 years old, doing amazing work, purchasing a 10-unit apartment complex, housing 20 veterans, eradicating homelessness in Collier County, partnering with organizations such as the Veterans Association, St. Paul, St. Matthew's House, and just making an impact in the community, running their nonprofit like a business. That's right, guys, like a business, through their focus groups, roundtables, and knowing what their investors are looking for. I learned so much from this interview with Dale today. I hope you did too. Don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and stay tuned for more Grow Your Nonprofit podcast episodes. Introducing the Grow Your Nonprofit merch in our Etsy store. So go on over to our Etsy store today and explore our collection. Pick your favorites. By doing so, you're not only elevating your style, but also contributing to the Grow Your Nonprofit mission. Thank you for being part of our community, and thank you for your dedication to making a difference. We appreciate your support, and we can't wait to see you rocking our Grow Your Nonprofit merch. Now stay tuned for more empowering content on Grow Your Nonprofit podcast. And until our next time, keep growing and keep giving.